What's up, everyone? This is Will Pruitt coming at you 2 days in a row with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the Impact Wrestling TV show that was on May 10th, 2012. But before we get into it, I want to give you guys some ways to reach me real quick. If you absolutely hate me, despise me, want to talk about it, hit me up via email. It's willtime@gmail.com. Say whatever you want on Twitter, at It's Willtime. Or if you happen to be a .NET member, hit me up in the .NET member forum. Got my own section in there. Just make the little subject line, I hate Will, and then give a detailed explanation of why. On the flip side, if you like me, do the exact same thing. You know, we want to hear from you guys. Always, we both on the All Access on the and on the member side, we try to keep things as excellent, as great as we possibly can. So if you're sitting there with some ideas, some ways that we can do that, tell us. I mean, we like to serve you guys. We try to give everyone the best product possible. And I feel like we do. At least the other people on the site do. I just kind of hang out and ramble. But let's ramble about TNA Impact. This show was the go-home for Sacrifice. That's pretty cool. And I thought as a go-home show, I left that show thinking about Sunday, thinking about that show and going, wonder what's going to happen? Which, you know, if you're talking about a go-home, isn't that what you're looking for? Isn't that what you're striving for? I thought, you know, that was the positive of the show. It left me going, what happens Sunday? And thinking about Sacrifice on Sunday, which TNA's go-homes don't always do. This is actually the third good go-home show in a row for TNA. The go-home to Victory Road had that really good Bobby Roode and Sting promo. Then we had our go-home to Lockdown with James Storm and Bobby Roode, and this with a the four-way match and it becoming, you know, Bobby Roode versus Rob Van Dam becoming a ladder match and a little bit of an abyss hook at the end too. Hey, solid. Solid stuff, man. So let's just launch into this bad boy, shall we? But before we do, if you're thinking, man, Sacrifice is on Sunday, I wish there was a place I could go to get live, on-the-moment results from that show. Boy, howdy, check out ProWrestling.net. where everybody is able to see Jason Powell's report on the show. He's going to be covering it live with his little commentary thrown in. Always a great report. Always fun to watch and read. Even if you're just even if you're watching the show, go ahead and check that out a few times throughout the night just to see what Jason thinks of it. One of the best minds in wrestling journalism, aside from myself. That was a joke, by the way, Jason. But If you're sitting there going, man, now that I've watched the show, I would love to listen to someone talk about the show. Boy, we got you covered on that end too. Jason, at the end of the night on Sunday, he's not going to bed. No. At the end of that show, he's going to fire up the old computer and record some TNA wrestling audio, talking about the stories told on the show, talking about the successes and failures of them, and just giving his overall rundown and opinion of the show. Again, worth reading, worth listening to some fantastic analysis there. And that's exclusive to .NET members. And if you're sitting there going, man, well, how do I become a .NET member, per se? Go to ProWrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that bad boy. Boom. Within a few minutes, you're a .NET member. The rates start at $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. You're locked in for a year at that rate. Or if you're if you just want to try it out, you're wondering, oof, do I want to do that? You know what? There's a one-month option you can take. Just that's $7.50 for a month. And, you know, I feel like for the money you're paying, if you just want to be there for a month and try and listen to all the interviews, you're not going to get through them, but try. That's worth it. Interviews we've got. We have, I'm just going to fire up the site real quick. Membership interviews. Chris Jericho, Dutch Mantel, Court Bauer, Conan, Sinister Minister Jim Mitchell, X-Pac, Sean Waltman, Brock Lesnar, gosh, we have so much more than that. Recent interviews with Shane Hurricane Helms, recent interview with Eddie Edwards, a recent interview with former WWE creative team members Chris DeJoseph and Chris Roach, interviews with DGUSA's Larry Dallas and Gabe Sapolsky, you've got a interview with Bobby Lashley, Sean Daivari, Just Incredible PJ Polacco. We've got interviews with Shane Helms, Jeremiah Riggs, gosh, so many. Former ROH owner Kerry Silken. We've got Michelle Dighton in a really good two-part interview. She was a tough enough contestant where, man, she gives you the behind-the-scenes scoop like you ain't never seen. It's pretty intense, the amount of audio we have for you guys. Simon Diamond we've got on there. And you know what? It all comes with that membership, so much that you guys can check out if you are in that mood. So please head on over to ProWrestling.net. Consider that membership option. Plus, you get tons more weekly audio from myself, Jason Powell, Chris Short, Jake Barnett, and occasionally Ryan Kester. We are, I can say this because I really feel like I'm the lowest on this totem pole. It is one of the best teams for wrestling analysis. You get varied opinions. You get varied viewpoints, varied backgrounds, age groups, all of that. We're not all spouting the same thing. We're not all saying the same stuff about wrestling. And when we disagree, we sit down and we talk about it, and it's always an intriguing conversation. That's my pitch. There it is. ProWrestling.net, the membership section. Always a fun place to be. And check it out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. So this show, like I said, I liked it as far as a go-home show goes. I thought the TNA did some really good stuff on it. Let's just start from the top, work our way through it, and have some fun. The show opened with Bobby Roode, or with a recap of Bobby Roode and his attack on Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, and Mr. Anderson last week. One thing that I didn't like about this, last week, for the first time in a long time, Robert Roode actually won a match with his finishing maneuver. Right? I'm shocked. So, he wins a match with that move. They don't show the finishing move as part of the video recap. It's another in a long line of the frustrations with me for this Bobby Roode push where Roode never gets a clean win. Roode never wins a match with his own finisher. It, you know, these things start adding up, and then even when he does, they don't replay it when they're replaying the match. They will not let fans get attached to it. Here's why I think they should. If you show him beating people with that move, when someone kicks out of it, it becomes a big deal. You know, when he cheats to put that move on someone, locks it in, it's a big deal. Yeah. Just, you know, you need to get the move over. Bobby Roode, what does he use recently? The fisherman suplex, the spear, that Fujiwara armbar, it's... what? Which one's his finisher? What is he using? I only remember those things because I have a freakish memory for details in wrestling. Half of you are probably going, he used the spear? Really? The hell was he using the spear? And if you're wondering, they teach it as part of high school physical education classes in Canada. So every Canadian wrestler, much like they all can use the sharpshooter if they so desire, they can also use the spear now. It's been added to the repertoire since Edge became a big thing using it. Anyways, so Bobby Roode came to the ring and talked about how in 2 weeks he's going to be the longest reigning TNA champion in history. You know what? You know what is actually most likely 2 weeks from now? 2 weeks from now, I believe, is open fight night. You know, if it was 2 weeks ago, so 2 weeks from now should be open fight night. It's also the week before they go 1 hour earlier. So it kind of makes sense they're really into the gut check and they think it's a draw. So they want the gut check judges segment to be on that first 8 p.m. show, I'm guessing. Not bad. You know, I'm not going to complain about them doing it. I'm not going to say that I love the open fight night concept in general. But I think that Bobby Roode striving to be the longest reigning TNA champion in history is going to become a big deal on that open fight night. I think we may actually... given what we got last night, get either the return of Sting or the return of James Storm to challenge him, beat him, and go on to get a title shot at Slammiversary. I think that that's where we're going to go with that open fight night. It's just a prediction. But, you know, I've watched wrestling for a while, guys. So you talk about I was going to be the longest reigning TNA champion. Roode guaranteed victory over Rob Van Dam at Sacrifice. RVD ran out, and the two started brawling before Roode ran away. Then Mr. Anderson comes up behind him and attacks, throws Roode back into Rob Van Dam's clutches. And then Jeff Hardy joins the party. Oh, did he join that party. And started hitting Roode. Then Hardy and Anderson start fighting because they're pissed off at each other too. RVD and Roode are fighting. TNA agents, which are called TNA agents by Mike Tenay, even though an agent really has no place on television, calling them, you know, producers, calling them, you know, TNA coaches. TNA wrestling and visors, any of that would work. But agents, meh, I don't like it. I've mentioned that a ton before in this audio, but it's always worth saying to me, I don't like using the word agents, because agents, they put together matches, you know? Producers even makes more sense to me, or TNA, you know, consultants, TNA wrestling coaches, TNA guys. Also, a funny note, WWE, you know, Bill DeMott, and they, you know, their agents run out, and they're not called agents, they're just there, but their guys run out, and, you know, Dustin Rhodes, you see him in a suit, you see him, you know, sport coat, slacks, tie, button-down shirt. TNA agents run out, it's like jeans and, if you're lucky, a polo shirt. They're just like, ah, screw it, we work for TNA, man, we're not dressing up. Have you seen this product? Just a funny thing. But Hulk Hogan comes out. His music hits, and Hulk Hogan with his really fake hair, the hair that he sews into his bandana or whatever it is, just, it looks so silly. Hogan comes out and says that he's got an idea that Rob Van Dam has to agree to for him to do it. And then he runs down the idea. Basically, a four-way match between these guys tonight. And if Bobby Roode wins, he gets to pick his challenger for Sacrifice. If Mr. Anderson or Jeff Hardy win, they get to be the challenger at Sacrifice. And if Rob Van Dam happens to win, Rob Van Dam keeps his title shot and gets to pick the stipulation for their match at Sacrifice. And I'm sitting there going, wow. Okay. Let's break this down here real quick using a real sports analogy. I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm the coach of a Super Bowl team. And Roger Goodell comes up to me and says, Will, coach of the Green Bay Packers. Yes, the Green Bay Packers. Suck it, Jason. You were great in that NFC Championship game. And you are playing in the Super Bowl in Miami. Sweet. Love Miami. Let's do it. But then he looks at me and goes, Will, I have something. If you will put your Super Bowl opportunity on the line, put my, what? In one more game. And if you lose this game, you don't go to the Super Bowl. But if you win this game, we're going to move the Super Bowl to Lambeau Field, give you home field advantage if you win this game. I would sit there and I'd be like, you know, a Super Bowl at Lambeau sounds fantastic. But thanks, but no thanks. I'm just going to take the fact that my team is in a Super Bowl right now and be thankful. That's, you know, it doesn't make sense. No one would put that on the line. You know, World Series, we're going to give you a shot at the home field advantage if you play one more game. But if you lose that game, you're not in the World Series. It's not worth it. You know, anything. UFC, you don't see guys, you know, well, I want to move this fight to Vegas because I'm more comfortable fighting in Vegas and my camp is there. So I'm going to go into one more fight to try and win home field, you know, home, you know, octagon advantage. It doesn't work that way. Sports, you don't do that. When you have that championship opportunity, you clutch it and you never give it up. That's the whole idea of the championship opportunity. And Rob Van Dam stood there and said, yeah, I will give up my championship opportunity because I want to name the stipulation. And, you know, the closest I can find to naming the stipulation in other sports is changing the field, you know, home field advantage or whatever that is. I just don't see it as worth doing. I don't see, and they talked about how it shows our Rob Van Dam is willing to make a sacrifice. I just don't appreciate it in the internal logic of a wrestling show where the championship means everything and everyone wants to be champion. Rob Van Dam showed that something is more important to him than being the champion. And while he could get an advantage in that championship match, he could also lose it. And I don't think you ever put yourself in a situation where you can lose your championship opportunity. That's me, guys. You know, you all are listening. You know my wrestling sensibilities at this point. You guys know that I, you guys know how I look at the wrestling business and all of that. Or if you're new listeners, you're getting a hint right there. It's just an odd thing to me that Rob Van Dam would be so willing to give that up. But he was. And that four-way match was made for tonight. And when you guys were watching, did you think of the 2009 Ultimate Sacrifice match that was like Kurt Angle versus Mick Foley versus two other guys that I don't remember right now? And it was the main event of the Sacrifice pay-per-view, and everyone had to put something on the line to sacrifice. You know, Angle put his gold medals up, and Mick Foley put the world title up, and it was just this cluster of a match where no one knew, you know, well, that guy won, but wait, he's not world champion because he pinned that? What? What? That's also what this match felt like, was an odd callback to that Ultimate Sacrifice match. It was strange. Gosh, I'm 15 minutes into this audio and I haven't even gotten through the opening segment yet. Guys, we're gonna break some necks here with this face. Backstage, Bully Ray talked about Austin Aries being small. You guys know I don't like that. But it's life. Bully Ray was all over this show, by the way. Bully Ray was in almost every segment, basically. Bully Ray is in three rivalries right now, which is kind of strange. But we'll get to him a little bit later. Backstage, Gail Kim and Madison Rayne were talking. Gail was complaining about Brooke Tessmacher. Madison was trying to pick out the right panties, and she wanted some guy to pay attention to her. Odd segment. It's going to lead to a romance angle, obviously, but I just don't know where it goes. Then we had Velvet Sky versus Brooke Tessmacher, and this was not a good match. They were given 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Brooke Tessmacher won because she's getting the title shot at the pay-per-view. Velvet Sky is not good in the wrestling ring. Brooke Tessmacher is okay, and she can wrestle well when she has someone that she's in the ring with that can carry her. I don't want to say carry. That can assist her in having a quality match. Let's say that one. Well, what happened in this match was Velvet Sky is not the person to assist her, and you ended up with kind of a clumsy-looking match, and even my wife, I was watching it this morning, and my wife was getting ready for work, and I have my Friday mornings off, which is nice because I get to do this crap, but she looked at the TV and just went, ugh, that is not good. Like, they don't look like they're hitting each other. My wife actively tries to avoid watching TNA, by the way. She likes wrestling, interestingly enough. She goes to events with me. She has some fun. Chance hugs Steen hug at PWG events. We love it when Kevin Steen hugs people, by the way. That's something that we heartily recommend. A hug from Kevin Steen is like a dream. So, but this match, she looked at it and went, they're barely, what? This isn't even good wrestling. So, it is what it is. Gail Kim, after the match, attacked Miss Tessmacher with the eat defeat. And that was that. A brief video talking about James Storm was shown. More James Storm later in the show. Tessmacher versus Kim, I think, has a chance to be really good at the pay-per-view. Like I said, Miss Tessmacher isn't bad in the ring. I actually like her. I like the act. The only issue I really have with it is that she can't wrestle someone that's bad, like Velvet Sky. But if you, let's say they want to rotate Gail Kim out of the Knockouts Championship picture. If they put the title on Miss Tessmacher at the pay-per-view, there's enough quality heel workers in the Knockouts division. I mean, a rematch with Gail Kim, a match with Madison Rayne, a match with Winter, a match with Angelina Love. Like, there's enough good workers that Brooke Tessmacher, as an okay worker, can have good matches. Did I mention Winter? Yeah, Winter. AJ Styles was asked about his deep, dark secret backstage, and he said he's focused on his match with Angle. Jeff Hardy said he's ready for the four-way. Then we were going to get the final encounter, Matt Morgan versus Crimson. This was it. This was going to be Matt Morgan's walking down the aisle, gets attacked by Bully Ray with a chain, and Bully Ray then, Matt Morgan's head was kind of leaning on the ring post, and Bully Ray then hit the ring post, supposed to be Morgan's head with a chair. Morgan bladed or did something, and he was on the floor bleeding. And he was laying there for quite a while, and his hand was all twitchy. And Bully Ray said, you know, Austin Aries, in a very calm, un-Bully Ray-like tone, Austin Aries, this could be you. This could be you. So, there's a few things to talk about here. One, Morgan and Crimson's feud is not over, and they're extending it yet again. Maybe in that time, one of them will learn how to throw a punch. Morgan looks to be going out with some sort of injury angle. He was doing the hand twitch thing all the way back to being loaded into an ambulance, and I don't like it. I know that, you know, you say chair shots to the head, yes, they're going to be part of wrestling in angles like this, where they're made a big deal and everything, and it was obviously a protected chair shot. I'm not saying, you know, it wasn't, you know, Morgan down on his knees begging for it, Briscoe style. It was, no, they took every precaution here. You could tell that the chair shot went off without injuring him. But selling it with the twitching hand and everything, it's an effort to take things that you don't normally see in the wrestling universe and put them into the wrestling universe. The problem with that is that it makes it just a little bit too real. You know, it's that fine, fine line where it makes it, you know, you legitimately worry about him, not wrestling worry about him, where you're like, oof, hope his comeback is good or something. No, you're going, oh my gosh, is he okay? Wow, that is not ideal for him. That is not what should be happening. And that line, it's just such a tough one to walk. I feel like TNA didn't do a great job walking it here. After that, Crimson cut a promo, a heel promo, basically saying, well, Matt Morgan's not making it to the ring. Ha ha! Referee, count him out. Good promo from Crimson. Some nice stuff. I'm enjoying his heel character far more than I'm enjoying his babyface thing. Then we saw part of, I guess, the TNA Before the Bell segment with Rob Van Dam and his gym talking about Greek mythology and how that explained to him who he was and the type of guy that he was. Some good stuff. Background on Rob Van Dam is always interesting because when TNA introduced him, they said, oh, this guy's a legend, you know, Rob Van Dam. And they never talked about what made him tick. And wrestling in general has this issues with veteran acts where they never say what makes him tick. And this showed us what makes RVD tick a little bit. It showed us a little bit of more of who Rob Van Dam is. And I'm always going to enjoy that. Then we saw a little buffer before the commercial break. Up next, Austin Aries defends the X Division Championship. That was it. That was the hype that the X Division Championship match got. Austin Aries, I would say number four babyface in the company right now. Let's remove Sting, Hulk Hogan, and Dixie Carter. And, you know, you've got Jeff Hardy, you've got Rob Van Dam up there. Anderson's a tweener at the moment. Always a tweener. Anderson is always going to be a tweener in that company. But you've got Aries right beneath him. I mean, if you're doing a six-man tag and you need a babyface team right now to storm out, it's Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, and Austin Aries that you're going to. You know, maybe the tag champs are around there too, but you're giving away a match with your number three, number four babyface in Austin Aries. No advertisement. It's a championship match. Nothing. No, you don't even mention his opponent until he makes his entrance. It's just, yeah, Austin Aries is going to be championshipping after this. It's a small pet peeve, and it's an issue of positioning. It's not exactly an issue of I'm angry about it or it upsets me. It's why do you position Austin Aries there when you can position him in a way where he draws? That's what it is to me. But we got Austin Aries versus Ima Ion for the X Division Championship. It lasted 4 minutes and 16 seconds, ended with Austin Aries winning clean with the Brainbuster. Really good match. Really, these guys have some great chemistry. The way that they work with and around each other, the way that they, you know, the way that they execute, the athletic ability of both men is fantastic. And I thought there really wasn't a bad point in this match. There wasn't anything that made me say, oh, wow, that was terrible. It was good. It was a really good match. Another question I have to ask, and Ryan Kester brought it up in his Impact report. It's a random championship match on Impact. Open Fight Night is based around one champion defends their title, and everyone gets to make a challenge. Well, when you have a championship randomly defended on Impact, what does that do? What exactly are you saying with one champion randomly defending their title? It's like, oh, Open Fight Night's not that important. So then we saw RVD talking backstage about why he would risk his stipulation at Sacrifice. And that was an interesting segment because he was basically saying, I want it because I want a ladder match. You know, I feel like I can win a ladder match far better than I can win a singles match. And I know I can beat Rude, Hardy, and Anderson easily. I appreciate TNA making an effort to give us a justification for him risking his match. I still don't think that him risking his match is something that a character fully invested in the world of professional wrestling and saying, you know, all things being real, and pretending it's real. I know it's tough. I know kayfabe is dead. But when I watch it, you know, I'm going to go a little Wayne Keller on you guys a little bit. When I watch a movie, I don't want people saying that it's not real. You know, when I sit down to watch Parks and Rec, and I'm not going to give you a spoiler on the election episode, it's a brilliant episode, but the consequences of that election, I don't want Leslie Knope to sit there and say, well, it's all scripted, so whatevs, you know, and yeah, it was scripted to do that, whatevs. That's what I feel like TNA does sometimes by not treating, or WWE too, their lack of kayfabe has been atrocious recently. Everyone does it. But when you tell me it's not real, why do I invest? I invest in Mad Men because for that hour that I'm watching an episode, I can buy into Don Draper as a real guy. I can buy into, you know, all of these things really happening. And it's very difficult to do that with wrestling shows lately. And that's frustrating. Then we saw a video package talking about the AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels and Kazarian feud. By the way, this show, it flipped along. TNA packed everything they could into this one. There wasn't a lull, there wasn't a break in the action. Even post-match celebrations, it was like, Austin Aries raises its title, and next segment, or and commercial. They packed every little bit of action they could into this show, and it was total non-stop action. The problem is that it was total non-stop action. I didn't have time to pause and reflect, I didn't have time to go, this happened earlier tonight, therefore this is happening now. It was just boom, here we go, boom, here we go, boom, here we go, boom, constantly. The one nice thing about it is that it built up to the pay-per-view. It was total non-stop action, but it was total non-stop action that said, sacrifice Sunday, sacrifice Sunday, sacrifice Sunday, and sacrifice your Mother's Day to hang out with TNA on Sunday. That's always interesting. So, Daniels and Kazarian came to the ring now. And this segment was them taunting AJ. AJ came out, said, hey guys, let's just end it right now. I know, you know, you guys don't have anything. Let's just end this and move on. And they said, au contraire, mon frère, or whatever that phrase is. French people, please do not email me about it. Or do, whatevs. Basically, they revealed pictures of AJ Styles in order. One of him kind of holding hands with Dixie Carter. And then one of him touching Dixie Carter's face tenderly, and then one of him kissing Dixie Carter. Okay. That's always interesting. That's interesting, and AJ looked ashamed and shocked, and Daniels and Kazarian left the ring. They said a picture's worth a thousand words. This was interesting. They talked about, you know, AJ having been in TNA since the beginning. Hey! It was an okay payoff. I thought that, you know, it's what do you do with that AJ Styles character at this point? And I don't know. Personally, I would probably actually make him, you know, say, hey, he's a world champion. He's decided to reset his sights on the X Division and make him a guy down in the X Division battling guys like Zema Ion and all of those, because that makes AJ, he's a veteran of the X Division, say, you know, he wants another run with that title belt. He sees the competition and sees that it's worth him going down there. And I would probably do that if I were sitting there booking AJ Styles. But what do you do with AJ at this point? This is a great option for him. Puts him in a personal storyline. Now, the bad to me, you're putting Dixie Carter on TV again. We've seen that Dixie Carter cannot, in fact, act. You know, she has like one face for being upset at Eric Bischoff, and then another face that is used for all other emotions, despite what the situation actually calls for. So Dixie being called upon to act, I think, is a bit of a mistake. But yeah, I don't see Dixie Carter needing to be on TV, but obviously that's where this is going. For AJ, it's an interesting twist for the character. I wonder if it's going to lead to him kind of shaking off the family man persona a little bit, or if it's going to be, I made a mistake, or, you know, I'm guessing Dixie, upholding her integrity, is going to say, no, nothing like that. Or we'll get really lucky, and it's going to lead to Dixie versus her husband, Sarge. What the hell kind of name is that, by the way? Let's say Serge. It's going to lead to Dixie and her husband, Serge, versus AJ at Slammiversary, which, you know, 10th anniversary show, you want to get Serge involved. He's also going to perform every theme song live. That'll be awesome. Every terrible TNA theme song. So, that happened. a recap of the Styles segment aired, then boom, straight into the TV title match. Robbie E versus D-Von in match number 7,136 of their ongoing series for the television championship. When I heard about D-Von defending the TV title every week, I didn't realize it would be against someone named Robbie more often than not. I wanna put that as a caveat. This was D-Von squashing Robbie E in 1 minute and 10 seconds. Then Robbie T came in, hit him with the power slam, and later on in the show, I won't even cover it when it actually happened, D-Von basically said, bring both of you to sacrifice, and I will defend this belt against both of you. So it's either a triple threat or a handicap match for the TV title. Can we just end this feud and get that belt off of D-Von soon so I don't have to watch D-Von matches and promos every week? He also was like, I will spine buster you both! Dude, unless you're Arn Anderson, I'm not threatened by your spine buster. I'm sorry. It's a transition move at best. Maybe a signature move if you're Triple H, who doesn't mean AA style spine buster, or The Rock, who uses it to set up the people's elbow on occasion. But, it's not a finisher, per se, D-Von. Then we saw a recap of James Storm, I Ran Out of Luck promo, and a video of James Storm looking sad on his farm, basically saying, I never doubted myself before, but after that match, it was all set up. It was the happy ending. If my life were a movie, I would have gotten that happy ending, but I didn't. And now I don't know what to do with myself. A really good promo from James Storm. You know, really good video work. James Storm, he just knows how to manipulate the audience so well vocally. But I do take issue with it, and it's the same issue I had with the I Ran Out of Luck promo. This storyline is something you do with someone the fans are invested. It's something you do with Steve Austin in 2001, kind of leading up to his heel turn, but do you remember him doubting himself after the big loss against Triple H in No Way Out 2001 in the Three Stages of Hell match? Underrated classic, by the way. But him going, I need this because I need to prove that I'm the best. I'm doubting myself. I don't know that I'm the best anymore, and I need to show that I am. Steve Austin had years of connection with the fans to rely on at that point. James Storm, he doesn't. He's had a few big babyface moments, but he hasn't had that big run. He hasn't had, as a fan, if I'm watching, I got invested in James Storm. Then he took time off from that concussion thing. Then he came back and it was okay. And I started to get invested again. Then he lost that match and now he's gone again. And I've never been given the opportunity for James Storm to go on a run uninterrupted where I say James Storm is my guy. And as a fan, I want to say that. I want to say James Storm is my guy. I want to say James Storm is the person that I fully support. James Storm is the guy that I want to see win, that I want to see be world champion. Whether that's giving him a run with the belt or just giving him a long, uninterrupted run, TNA hasn't done that. And they're running a storyline right now that requires the emotional investment of the fans in James Storm. And I don't think that they have earned that. I don't feel like James Storm as an act has earned that from the fans. So what happens with this is TNA runs these promos about James Storm losing confidence in himself. And as a fan, instead of going, I want to see James Storm come back. I need James Storm. You can do it. I say, yeah, I don't know if I'm really confident in James Storm either. I mean, dude's failed a lot. Dude gets injured a lot. Dude gets hurt a lot. He's okay, but man, I don't know that I'm very confident in him the way that they seem to want me to be confident in him. That's where I am as a fan. That's what I see when I look at this story. And, you know, then I put on my wrestling analysis cap and I go, why? Why would they do that to James Storm? Why would they make him look so stupid? Why are all of these things happening with James Storm when the straight up good wrestling story to tell is James Storm goes on a hot run, people get behind him, give him some time, and then when people are behind him and support him and people love James Storm, that's when you pull out this storyline. James Storm is acting it well. TNA is doing their best to present it well. I thought that this was a really good video package, but the timing of this is about a year too early in the James Storm babyface run. And my fear, the thing that I look at this and say could happen, is that James Storm suddenly becomes an afterthought. That James Storm
suddenly becomes not the TNA champion, you know, not the guy I want to see win the TNA championship, but the guy that I can't believe in. Because, man, he didn't even believe in himself. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying that James Storm is doomed. I'm not saying that they ruined the character. I'm saying that they screwed up a big piece of the story. And now they're trying to tell a story that I think is too far along for where James Storm is as a babyface and in his connection with the crowd. It's not all over. It's not a disaster. But it isn't what it could be. You know, I mentioned when James Storm lost the lockdown, you only get so many chances to make a moment. I think that they're doing the opposite of that now. And it's hurting Storm as an act. Joseph Park was backstage trying to get directions to the ring. This is where we got that D-Von promo that I hated, just because it's a D-Von promo and they're all the same. Oh, my brother that is turned against me and I'm not friends with, testify. Then we had a really interesting video package about Joseph Park and Abyss, and it had a fake news reporter. It was a cute video package in that it was something that we don't normally see. And Park came to the ring, and he talked without a microphone, and they just made a big thing about him being lost. And he came out and was like, so this is the Impact Zone, huh? This is what it is. And cut a good promo, seeming unfamiliar with the Impact Zone, and talking about Abyss being a great wrestler and tearing this house down. Well, you know, he wrestled matches in there, at least. Park talked about his investigations and how everything points to Bully Ray. Said he wasn't going away till he gets answered. He was going to, instead, he may just buy a ticket to Sacrifice. That made me laugh, because you don't buy tickets to TNA pay-per-views, you just go to them. And then Bully Ray came out. Said that something wasn't right with Park and his brother. He said that Park had no business in a ring, and this is, you know, Bully Ray in his, like, third storyline of the night. He talked about Austin Aries started a feud with Matt Morgan, and I'm assuming that will be a feud when Morgan comes back. And now he's in this thing with Joseph Park / Abyss, and it was just too much Bully Ray. You know, this is his third feud of the night. The dude's all over the place, and I think the TNA sees Bully Ray as a great toy. A guy, you know, he's a great heel. Someone you can use to get a number of baby faces over. And you can do a lot with that Bully Ray character. He's great. I said in the .NET countdown yesterday with Jake Barnett, Bully Ray is a better anti-bullying campaign than Be a Star. Because Bully Ray is a bully. And when you stand up to him, he gets his. And he acts stupid. You know, that's what wrestling is based on. That's why wrestling is great. It says stand up to bullies. Don't put up with that crap. Yeah, but TNA doesn't always get that. Park basically then started talking trash on Bully Ray and saying, hey, didn't you get beat by your brother? Didn't you get called fat by that Austin Aries guy? What's going on, Bully Ray? And Ray left the ring. Ray responded by shoving Park, and Ray left the ring while Park looked frightened and then started smiling. Then Mr. Anderson said that he was going to take his title back after winning tonight. He got really close to the camera, and it was a little bit disturbing, actually. Kurt Angle then talked backstage about AJ Styles and did the whole, I'm a babyface and I respect you bit, furthering Kurt Angle being a babyface. Tanay and Taz ran through the Sacrifice card, which looks pretty solid. I mean, Angle versus Styles can be good, even though I think it's going to have a little too much story. I think little bit of an underground match of the night could end up being that Anderson, or not Anderson Hardy, that's gonna be a train wreck. I don't think that'll be good at all. But underground match of the night could end up being Joe and Magnus versus Daniels and Kazarian. That one, I'm excited to watch that tag title match, and I think Daniels and Kazarian are a great addition to a tag division. But again, that one could also get caught up in story, as opposed to substance. But I'll go through that whole card later, get some predictions and all of that junk, because his audio isn't long enough at 40 minutes talking about a, what, when you take away commercials, hour and 20, hour 40 show. Yep, way to go, Will. Keep on talking. So then we got our four-way main event. Rude, Rob Van Dam, Hardy, Anderson, fast-paced action, which continued the theme of the night where you're just like, my neck is broken. From the pace, that is. Fast-paced action, everyone looked pretty good here. Rude took the pin from Rob Van Dam after getting the mic check, the twist of fate, and finally the five-star frog splash. Anderson looked like the world's stupidest man by knocking Jeff Hardy out of the ring so he could... So Rob Van Dam could take advantage of Rude with a five-star and pin him. It was an okay four-way match, kind of your classic. Everyone hits their finishers at the end. Yay, signature spots everywhere match. So Rob Van Dam won, and then he got his ladder match. He pulled out a ladder from under the ring and celebrated on top of it, sitting there. Sitting on top of a ladder doesn't look tough. Standing does. If you don't have the balance to stand on top of it, go down a couple rungs and stand there. But don't sit on top of it. Sitting is not a tough posture, gentlemen. Kurt Angle did that. I was at the Slammiversary 2007 show in TNA when they had the first TNA championship match. Kurt Angle won that one. It was a King of the Mountain match, which is that weird match where you had to take the belt and hang it up over the ring instead of grabbing it down, and there was a penalty box involved and all of that. But Kurt Angle celebrated sitting on the ladder holding up the title, and I was like, this is stupid. You're sitting. You're not standing. Like, you don't look tough sitting. Yeah. But then, as he celebrated, the Abyss music, some fireworks shot off from the stage, and some Abyss music started playing that ding, 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 your car door is open tone. And Abyss came out. With all four main, with all four of the guys who were just in the main event still out there, Abyss came out with a microphone, and the cameraman got really close to this scary monster. And Abyss, while spitting on the camera, said, saying, "Little brother, you're getting too close to the fire, and you're gonna get burned." And the show went off the air with all four, Rude, Van Dam, Hardy, and Anderson all looking puzzled as Abyss stood on the ramp, looking tough. Interesting. Interesting development. I told you what I thought of the four-way, the post-match stuff. The Abyss return, I guess I'm supposed to walk away saying, well, what happens with Abyss at Sacrifice? What's going on? I think we're going to see some more Bully Ray bullying Joseph Park, and it's going to come out that Park and Abyss are the same person. It has to come out that they are, but... this was an interesting way to continue that and to get us there. I like it. I do. It's the one intriguing thing that they've done with Abyss in a really long time. And I'm interested. Even at this point, I am interested in what is happening with Abyss. Which I never say. I never care what's happening with Abyss. It's Abyss. Who cares? I'm really happy with. The... overall story that they told on this show, meh, at best, meh. It's too much Bully Ray, too much happening at once. It all pointed towards Sacrifice, which I'm happy with, and I will give this show a thumbs up. It was a decent episode of Impact, a little bit meh, just because of that pace. Nothing seemed important, nothing stood out at the end. I was left more thinking about Abyss than I was about the ladder match, but everything still pointed towards Sacrifice in the right way. Speaking of Sacrifice, let me, open up the old iPad here and go to TNA's website and see if I can find the card for Sacrifice. Preview the pay-per-view. Why do they put those stupid videos up? I'm guessing it's the preview the pay-per-view one. Let's see what happens. Featured story right now is Kazarian holding up a thing. Nope, it's new videos, but I cannot find the card here. Final countdown. TNA Sacrifice this Sunday. Third story down. And, here's the full card. Alright. Let's get after it here. Start from the bottom, work our way up. Knockouts Championship match. Brooke Tessmacher versus Gail Kim. I'll pick Gail Kim to win, even though I think Tessmacher's a solid girl to win this one. But I'll pick Gail Kim to win as part of her honeymoon tour. By the way, congrats to Gail Kim and her new husband, Robert Irvine. That's fantastic. Way to get married, guys. Wish you all the best. Television Championship. Robbie E and Robbie T versus D-Von. I'll pick D-Von to win. He's going to spine bust someone, and we're going to have to deal with more D-Von on a weekly basis on Impact. Bully Ray versus Exhibition Champion Austin Aries. I think this one should continue into a no disqualification brawl at the Slammiversary show. You've got to have some rivalries to blow off there. So I'll pick Bully Ray to win this one via cheating. And Austin Aries to go on to get his vengeance at Slammiversary. Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson. I'll pick Hardy to win it. Nothing's on the line in this one. I think this would have been a good opportunity to have a number one contenders match. But again, your top three guys, your top three baby faces right now, Hardy, Anderson, and Rob Van Dam, all guys that have been in WWE, all guys whose best days, I think, are behind him. And I'm very sad to say that about Anderson. But why is there not a new star in that mix? Then we have Kurt Angle versus the phenomenal AJ Styles in a Genesis 2010 rematch, and God only knows how many other times before that. The former Team Angle members in a TNA Collide when AJ was the Prince of Phenomenal and Angle stole a faction from Christian or something like that. But I'll pick Angle to win this one with Styles distracted due to his former makeout sesh with the TNA owner, Dixie Carter. Tag Team Championship, Daniel and Kazarian versus Samoa Joe and Magnus. Joe and Magnus are having a great run. I don't see why you win that. I would have liked to have seen some more from them on this episode, actually. I think it may be the only match that didn't even get a mention on this show, aside from when Taz and Tanae ran down the card. And it would have been cool to see a little bit of promo work from both teams, more so from Joe and Magnus, because they were absent from the show. Finally, Van Dam versus champion Bobby Roode in a ladder match. I have a very specific way that I expect this one to end. Because Bobby Roode doesn't win matches clean. And it's a ladder match. It's hard to find a dirty way to win a ladder match, isn't it? Here's what I'm thinking. Rob Van Dam goes up and grabs the belt. He's got it, but the referee's knocked out. Both of them, if you have two. They're knocked out. Rob Van Dam is celebrating with the title. Up comes Bobby Roode with a steel chair. Hits him with it. Van Dam falls off the ladder. Roode picks up the belt. Climbs up the ladder as the referee comes to and holds it up. The referee calls for the bell. Bobby Roode, still your world champion. And that way Bobby Roode continues his trend of not really winning matches, but keeping the title. Think about it, guys. It makes total sense. But yeah, that's gonna do it for this recap and predictions and all that. Sacrifices on Sunday. If you don't plan to watch the show, and given TNA's buy rates, no one plans to watch the show. And, you know, if you're celebrating Mother's Day, download the ProWrestling.net app to your phone. There you can get Jason Powell's live coverage. Just pull that bad boy out. Tell mom you're checking your stocks or some BS lie like that. Just pull that bad boy out as you're, oh, hey, look at that. Put it away. Boom. You've got the results right there. You're going to stay updated. That way, you can talk to your dad about what's happening on TNA. I know fathers and sons love watching bad wrestling shows together. That's only half true. But yeah, that's going to do it for me this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. If you want some more audio, ProWrestling.net members link is on the right-hand side of the page. Click that. Pay the man. Boom. You're in. Ad-free access to the site. Access to the members forum. Access to all of those interviews. Weekly audio shows and first-run news that you're not going to see anywhere else. There it is. ProWrestling.net. Thank you very much for listening, guys, and have a great week. Enjoy Sacrifice and Mother's Day on Sunday.